This is the technical difficulties of playing Citation Needed. Joining me today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Joel. Everybody's favourite, Gary Brannan. Gary Brannan!
All I'm going to tell you is the whole thing will need ripping out, burning and starting again, Vicar.
The bounciest man on the internet, Matt Gray!
Insert soliloquy here.
Thanks, Matt. In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact we get right is a point, and a ding, and the special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Mystery Biscuit!
And today we are talking about Camille Flammarion.
Ooh! Hello, foreign parts.
Yes,
hello.
Absolutely. Any guesses as to which foreign
France.
Part? Point, straight off the bat, yes.
The wheel spins and lands on France.
Again, the wheel is 50% France.
France, rest of the world.
Flammarion.
Flammarion.
Okay, we're going to need an occupation here.
Yeah, we are. Astronomer and author. And it's a long article, so I'm happy to give you that.
Astrother. Right.
Astrother, yes, he was Astrother.
So he wrote books about astronomy that were either fact or fiction?
Well, that's the thing. They were both. I'm going to give you a point.
Faction.
Isn't that just lies?
Oh, faction's already a word.
He wrote both science fiction and popular science.
Got it, I didn't get them two mixed up.
Oh, yes, well, funny you should mention that, Gary.
I have the manuscript here of my important scientific work and my one here about men with bum faces from Venus. But they both went to the same printer on the same day in the same envelope.
We can completely agree with Professor whatever.
Is it Flammarion?
Flammarion.
He was not a professor.
On gravitational waves, but the bum-faced goats from Mars are a completely different concept.
I mean, I'm not going to give you bum-faced aliens from Mars, but I'm going to give you
Well, there's a first.
I'm going to give you a point for Mars. He was one of the people who...
Canals on Mars.
Point.
There we go.
Absolutely right. Percival Lowell in America was the one who came up with the theory, but yes, he thought there were artificial canals on Mars.
Yeah. What, for boating?
Yeah, big canal boating system. Big recreational holiday market out there, to be honest.
Go to Mars, get a narrowboat.
Oh, yeah. Boat along the canals of Mars.
Yes.
At a gentle 4 miles per Mars hour.
The canals on Mars were actually what?
Motorways. Just rain-covered motorways. When they looked them through the telescope, the light glinted off them. It was an easy mistake.
Anyone swans landing on it all the time.
All the bloody time.
Cobwebs on the telescope.
Ah.
not quite. Not quite.
They were natural formations, weren't they?
No, oh. Not at all. And they weren't artificial formations either.
So they weren't formations at all.
At all.
I will give you a point. Can you explain what they were?
No, I was just being a pedant about what you'd said.
There are two possible explanations for the canals.
One, they're canals.
Well, okay, there are three, but one of them was definitely wrong. There are still two that are possibly... That one is that there were there was a formation, something they saw that they misinterpreted. The other is an optical illusion.
Like the one when you go to the fair and you go walk in, the mirror makes you look all small and fat.
Yeah, and that it made a load of...
Watch it.
It made a load of points look like lines that connected up through a slightly dodgy telescope.
But why canals? It could have been rivers or...
They were straight lines.
They were very straight. So they looked more like canals than rivers.
So they looked like irrigation canals.
If I could, you know what, if I had the ability to do one gigantic, you know, stirring effort, I would now transport myself to Mars with a canal boat.
Just be there waving.
No, put it out on Mars and half bury it like it's been there a long time. When the next Mars rover comes over the hill, holy shit!
I suppose the Curiosity rover is about the size of a big car.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you make it shorter and longer, it's a narrowboat rover.
If you just put, I don't know, some, expanding foam sealant around the windows and doors, I'm sure it would be airtight enough. I mean, let's face it, the moon lander was made of tinfoil. A canal boat's way stronger.
Hello, NASA? Yes, it's Matt Gray. Put narrowboats on Mars. They've gone.
See, this is how the world gets sorted.
Yeah, Matt Gray.
Hello, world organisation. It is Matt Gray.
So, Flammarion was... I can try.
I'm not even off tangent. We're talking about canals on Mars.
Yeah.
To be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
This is perfectly on screen.
How did we stay relevant?
It's a skill. I don't know. 6 years later, how are we still relevant?
Flammarion was both scientist and very much not a scientist. So he was exposed to two very different lines of thought. One of them was very much scientific method. Who in his era would have been the kind of the person standing at the front of, oh, this is science against religion?
The chief scientist.
Darwin.
Point. Exactly right. And then on the other hand, the popularity, well, the rising popularity of what less scientific movement?
Roller skating.
Not really. I mean, it is a movement.
Yeah, very movement. A straight line forwards or backwards, yes.
Bowel.
Not a bowel movement, no. We're not having... Not... Chris, save us.
Cubism.
Way too early. I don't know. Spiritualism. The idea that you
three
could...
Three times.
Yes, the idea that you could talk to the dead. So he was astronomer, mystic and storyteller. In a time when those
liar,
were...
Liar and liar.
Astronomer.
Oh!
This is the thing. This is where astronomy and astrology hadn't quite sorted each other out
diverged,
yet.
Yeah.
So in 1907, he wrote that dwellers on Mars had tried to communicate with the Earth.
Naturally.
Okay.
And also that what was heading towards Earth?
Cylinder.
Following cylinder!
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century. That canals on Mars were being observed.
No, not in this case. Something from a little bit further out.
Asteroids.
You're very close with asteroids.
Comet.
Point. Comet is absolutely right. A seven-tailed comet.
Are you sure that's not a very badly focused telescope?
Again? Well, that was the thing. Yes.
There was seems to be swirling in a spiral. Yes.
A small comet scene, it did not have seven.
He's
tracks.
Using the kaleidoscope again, isn't he?
They're in a formation where there's one at the top, one on each side, and there's an upside down one at the bottom.
Oh, f*** hell, giant spiders in space!
Along those lines, 1910, what astronomical event revisited us?
Halley's.
Yeah, you got there first again, have the point. He caused a bit of a fuss, did Flammarion. Earth was actually going to pass through the tail of Halley's Comet for the first time. And we also, for the first time, had spectroscopic data on what it was composed of.
Okay. So they looked at the light coming out of it to find out what...
To find out what elements and what stuff was in the tail that Earth was going to
I'm
pass
surprised
through.
They could do that then.
Yep, 1910. First time they were able to do it. So it was a close approach. We were passing through the tail. What did Flammarion say?
We're all going to die.
Point. But how? Bearing in mind, they now knew what the tail was composed of and what some of the
poisoning,
stuff...
Poisoning, asphyxiation.
Yes. Wow. No, absolutely right. Poison gas. There was a cyanogen, which is CN2. So it's brackets there, so it's two of each. Colourless toxic gas. And apparently he thought, well, that's in the tail of the comet. We're going to pass through the tail of the comet. We're all going to die! He was wrong.
Hello.
No way, really?
He said it would impregnate the atmosphere and possibly snuff out all life on the planet.
Did he use the word snuff out?
I
hope so.
Being French...
C'est snuff.
I would have thought he would have done that in French.
I believe that is a translation.
C'est bugged.
What did it cause?
Panic!
To a certain extent, yeah, I'll give you the point.
Mild disquiet!
Witty headlines.
A jump in a sail of wine.
A jump in the sail of something.
Lifeboats.
Umbrellas.
Wills.
Gas masks.
Point. Absolutely right. So in 1910, he essentially caused a slight panic buy of gas masks.
Come handy a few years later, eh, Fire?
That's...
I will arrange for making
that. But yes, that was one of the things. And then he wrote a series of science fiction books, one of which was called Real and Imaginary World.
I'm going to guess it was more imaginary.
I'm sorry, I can only think of one real one he knew anything about.
And yes. He was also wrong.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about psychics and mediums and all this before.
Several times.
Well, several times, but the approach here was somewhat different.
So we're looking for, like, the scientific analysis of ghosts.
Point. Yes, he was looking at it from the scientific method. And, for the time, was remarkably sceptical.
Okay.
There is a wonderful quote here. It is infinitely to be regretted that we cannot trust the loyalty of mediums. They almost always cheat.
Now, that doesn't
mean he didn't believe it, but he was certainly very sceptical about it.
He thought they were doing it the wrong way.
He thought it might be possible, but... Yeah.
What he needed wasn't a medium. And I know it'd be very hard to find in France, but he needed a well done.
I'm not biscuiting that. I'm not.
Oh, come on. Beautiful. I'm not. That's good stuff.
It's a rare thing in France.
Have I mentioned before I've actually been to a spiritualist service?
Is that like a church service?
Yeah.
No, he just took his spiritualist in for a tune-up.
No. Well, I actually meant
the readings are a bit off.
I mean, this is a valid question.
Yeah.
As in, I went to be serviced by a spiritualist rather than...
I'd had a...
That's very different, Matt.
I can tell you now, that's not what happened. No, I've been out with a friend of mine. I'd had a few, I will admit this. And I walked past, and there was a spiritualist church near where I lived, and there was a sign in the window saying, "Display of mediumship tonight." And I thought, in for a laugh. I snuck in, I went up, and then in the first floor of this building, there was like this church that fit it out with pews and a pulpit and an altar and the lot. And this bloke was stood in the pulpit doing... effectively live spiritualist. This was the big religion of the early 20th century. This even took in Rudyard Kipling after his son was killed. There were thousands of people really into it, and it still hangs on in certain parts.
Is this like the American stuff?
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah, exactly. But he's doing like, it was I can't put it any different. It was
I was expecting any other word there.
I walked and I thought, okay, I'm, you know, there's lots of older ladies in there, and I thought, well, as the new bloke in the room, if he wants to show off, he's going to pick on me. Because he could specific, you know, I'd had a few, I thought I was open to anything. If he can pick something out that he doesn't know, I'll be genuinely impressed, if nothing else, at his skill in cold reading.
Yeah.
He just stood there, and this is a mill town in the north of England, right, and goes, now, I'm getting the vision of someone who worked in a factory. Maybe on some kind of cloth machine. They were called Edith. And at one point, someone would go, oh, yeah, that was my sister's friend when I was younger. That far away, a link. Now, it's saying something about money. I mean, I could do this! is there a problem with money? There was one where he said something like, is there a problem with a child? And she went, no. The readings are very fuzzy from the other side. Is there a problem with children or young people at all? No. It's for the future.
Oh, yes! And that's how you do it.
At that point, I gave an audible ha!
From the back.
It was terrible. I couldn't do it. Stand in front of a room, say some old people's names, and if you get it wrong, just go, oh, it'll make sense one day, and then carry on.
Is this a religion?
Yeah. They sang hymns and everything at the end. Then I had a glass of orange squash, wobbled out, and got a samosa butty on the way home.
And got what?
A samosa butty.
How northern is that phrase?
It was a deep fried pastry with spiced meats inside.
The Empire
in a bap.
Yeah, bread roll for
in a bread roll with a mint sauce.
The Empire made it to the north.
I want to try that now.
It's beautiful. I don't. That's just that's double carbs, which I
chip
guess
chip butty
burrito. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I withdraw my objection.
The number of times I've come back with a big splodge of yoghurt sauce down my front.
I'm sorry, what?
At least that's what I told you.
After being serviced by the spiritualist.
So yes, Flammarion was simultaneously quite a believer and also quite a sceptic. He was sure there was something, but as he looked at it, he kept finding, well, it can't be that, it can't be that.
Martians!
All Martians.
Martian canal boat dwellers.
Beaming their thoughts down.
Buy me a new pot plant or one of those nicely painted watering cans with a plant in it.
That's obviously from the north of Mars.
Every planet has a north, what can I tell you?
It's kind of sad, really, because he seems to have had the scientific method and really both wants to prove it properly scientifically and also really wants to believe. And it's going, I'm just there. There must be something there. I'm going really high-pitched. But, you know, it's...
That's absolutely the case. Had a massive influence on a number of people and has quite a few things named after him. Any ideas?
Stars?
No.
Comets? No. Asteroids.
Yes.
A ghost.
His own ghost.
Yeah.
It was incredibly convenient.
Asteroids also named after his sister, his niece, perhaps his first wife.
Did he name them?
No.
Oh.
No, he's just very, very well respected for what he did for astronomy and for science. And also, not canals on Mars, but what else is named on Mars?
Mountains.
Volcanoes.
The opposite.
Valleys.
There's a
craters.
Point. Craters.
Holes.
Upside right.
down hills.
Oils.
As we Martians... I've said too much already.
With that, congratulations, Matt. You win this week's show.
Yay!
You win a highly expensive summary of the life of an American horror actor.
Yep.
It's Vincent Price's Very Pricey Pricey.
Oh.
With that, we say thank you to Chris Joel, Gary Brannan, Matt Gray.
Bye-bye.
I've been Tom Scott. We'll see you next time. Just hit myself in the face.
Worth it. Whole day worth it for that.